Schwab Advisor Services is proud to support the RIA Edge podcast and equally proud to support independent financial advisors like you. In a challenging year, how did 68% of firms surveyed in Schwab's RIA benchmarking study meet or exceed their new client goals? By following key success factors, such as leveraging new technology, adapting strategies to win new business and stay connected with their clients, while also attracting and developing the right talent. The Schwab RIA benchmarking study is just one of many ways they provide you with the insights and resources needed to succeed and grow. Get the full picture at advisorservices.schwab.com. Hi, everyone, and welcome to the RIA Edge podcast. This is, as regular listeners know, the podcast that gives me the chance to speak to founders and principals of RIA firms that we here at wealthmanagement.com have determined are growing by design, putting process and professional management in place to create a sustainably growing firm and not one that is just riding the wave of market appreciation. Or as we say, firms that are growing by design, not by default. Today, I'm happy to be speaking here to Mike Capelli, who is the co-founder of Modern Wealth Management. Mike, thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I'm glad to be here.
Modern Wealth Management, a relatively new firm, founded in 2023 from you and a couple of former executives out of Goldman Sachs Personal Financial Management, which listeners will know as the old United Capital that Goldman Sachs acquired in 2019. Do you want to just take a minute to give folks who don't know Modern Wealth Management a little bit of the sketch out a little bit about what the firm is, what it's about, and what you're trying to do there?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So Modern Wealth Management, you know, was founded with the idea that there's a huge opportunity out there. There's still, I think, a large part of the population that is underserved from a wealth management perspective. But it goes beyond that because people's needs are continuing to expand. And wealth management within the independent space is really entering a phase where we're looking to expand services to clients. Really go beyond, you know, just the handling their investments and doing the money management, putting together a financial plan, but getting a lot deeper into the tax planning work that needs to be done, even offering tax preparation services, doing deep estate planning, ensuring that they have all the structures in place, helping them on estate funding, handling insurance needs, really providing a wide range of financial services for clients. You know, that's where we see the kind of the leading edge of the industry is, and really is going to become the de facto standard of what consumers are going to expect from their advisors. And so, you know, we see a large opportunity there. And we founded the firm last year in 2023. As you noted, we came out of the old United Capital business and through Goldman Sachs through the acquisition there and founded this business. We have a lot of experience in finding like-minded advisors that are interested in building a national firm. And that's what we're doing. We started by identifying and finding a great platform acquisition that was very much strategically aligned in the direction that we wanted to take the business. And we saw it as a foundation for us to build out nationally from there. We've done follow-on acquisitions, but in parallel, we're also building up and investing in organic growth. And we have our growth hub out of our operating center that's located outside of Kansas City in Lenexa, Kansas. And we're investing quite a bit in that area, building up our organic growth capabilities, that pipeline and funnel, finding consumers out there that are, you know, have questions about their wealth and how to navigate it. And we're here to help.
I was just going to say the notion of holistic wealth management, right, that looks beyond just investments towards the entire life of the client, really, is something that I think a lot of firms, you know, aspire to or give, you know, some lip service to. It's harder to do. You guys come out of this brand new without any kind of previous baggage, so to speak. And it strikes me that this is something that United Capital was trying to do way back in the day. You know, United Capital made great strides in this arena, one of probably the earliest RIAs to really kind of move into sort of what we might call the life planning arena. Is that sort of DNA still here, but now you've kind of been given a clean slate to approach the market with that forefront in mind?
Yeah, well, I think we're taking it further. I think, you know, I mean, keep in mind, we started United Capital back, you know, 2005. And, you know, those were the early days of kind of shifting from kind of only doing money management to getting into financial planning. And, That was the leading edge of the industry at that point. And although we would touch on different topics with clients, we didn't necessarily have in-house solutions or easy ways for them to access that. And now that leading edge has moved to the point where you're bringing a lot of that expertise in-house and you're making it part of your core advisory team for clients so that it's just integrated much more heavily into that client experience. And I mean, honestly, you're simplifying the client's life as well, for them to not have to go and, have separate appointments they're setting up with their financial advisor and then their tax prep person, being able to handle that within one team. It just obviously helps them out quite a bit as well. So we're kind of taking the, where we had kind of started with United Capital, what we kind of saw as part of the future of the firm, we're really extending that now with Modern Wealth Management.
It's interesting. And we'll get to the organic growth strategy in a minute because I'm interested in that. But you guys have been busy in the past year. There's been quite a few acquisitions that you've made. I know you got some investment money early on some believers in the vision here. I think raised about $200 million or so, to launch the firm. You've gone out and you've made several acquisitions. You want to run us through maybe some of those? I know the first acquisition here, Barber Financial Group. What were you looking for there? And what is the acquisition strategy that you've been pursuing over the past year?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, so we did kind of go through a process to find an investor that would be interested in backing us as we did this national buildup, and that's Crestview Partners. They committed $200 million towards our efforts here, and we did identify Barber Financial Group as our initial platform acquisition. And they, Dean Barber there, he had already started down the path of kind of building out a service model along the lines of what I had described. He had started up providing deep tax planning work, tax preparation services, estate planning, estate funding, some insurance. He kind of had, the basics of and the foundation for it. So we saw this as an opportunity to acquire a business that had already started to move this direction that we could then take at a national level and build out across the country. And so that was a key, initial acquisition for us. After that, we expanded into Iowa, acquired a group there, Midwest Financial, and the team there. So it's a smaller office for us, about five people in the office there. And then we moved on to Indianapolis. We brought on a team led by Marty James. That was one that had formerly, initially was a tax business, tax preparation business that got into wealth management. And we saw an opportunity there strategically to be able to expand our tax prep capabilities and continue to invest in that area while still expanding the wealth management services to the clients that he was bringing. So that was a good strategic move there. We just announced our new office up in Rochester, which again has a strategic, goal in mind here, and this time in the retirement plan business. So we see, a great opportunity. We have a lot of small business owners that we provide wealth management services to. There's a lot of small business retirement plans that need guidance and help. And so we saw an opportunity with the Beltziani team there that we're at LPL to come and join us and help us build out a retirement plan service for retirement plan business out there. It gives you an opportunity to get in front of a lot of participants and identify if there's other ways that you can help them out besides just the retirement plan, other personal wealth challenges that they have that we can help out with and so on. So again, another, great strategic element to that acquisition while expanding geographically our footprint into the Northeast there.
Yeah, that's great. The M&A and the RIA space has been going on for some time, and it's been, pretty a lot of it. And it strikes me that most RIAs go out and acquire other RIAs just simply for the growth, right? Adding assets to the business. You guys are taking a very deliberate strategy here to go after acquisition targets that bring a unique set of skills or services into the broader organization. That's accurate, yes?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think early on here, we're trying to we are trying to be strategic in our acquisitions. Like, what, where are different areas of the business where we want to, have some subject matter expertise? We want to make sure that we're investing in these different areas of the business. And so, absolutely looking for those opportunities as we're, as we're searching out advisors across the country.
And when you and the co-founders there are at the whiteboard and you're looking 5, 10 years down the road, is there any aspect of a client's financial life that you won't touch? I mean, is the idea here to be the complete and total holistic advisor for the families that you serve? They won't
Yeah, I
have
mean,
any need to go outside for another service, or you won't have to refer them out to someone else. You want to be the one place where it does everything for the client.
I would say, it's tough to be everything to everyone. But I would say for, 95 plus percent of the clients, we'd like to meet almost 100% of their financial needs, right? And I think that comes down to kind of the segment that you're operating in, knowing your clients, knowing kind of the typical challenges they have, the typical needs that they have, and ensuring that you've got, great solutions for them. But generally speaking, you're right. That's we're trying to make sure that we can be there and meet, the vast majority of the needs that the vast majority of our clients have.
As you're making these acquisitions, I'm wondering, what does it look like? Do the acquired firms, is there a branding decision that goes on here? Do they have to being brought under the Modern Wealth Management brand, the tech stack? How does the putting all the pieces of the puzzle in place, does it help to have one brand overall, or do you still allow a lot of personal branding in the acquired firms to exist, and you're more working in the background? How do you envision it?
Yeah, so in order to really be successful at a national organic growth strategy where you're looking to have partnerships and a brand out there and a brand promise about what you're delivering, you this all drives us towards a single brand with a single experience, single client experience, single advisor experience. Again, this all goes back to if you're going to execute on a centralized organic growth strategy, you're out there making, effectively promises, right, to these prospective clients. And you want to be able to ensure that you've got the ability to deliver on those. And so when advisors join us, they do, they take on the Modern Wealth brand. We bring them on to our operating platform. So same portfolio accounting system, CRM, and so on. And we bring them through, a very thoughtful and kind of strategically oriented process on how we, take them down that path, right? There's a lot going on just to start in selling the business. And so we've got a lot of experience bringing firms on and understanding what's important to kind of do day one, what things can kind of happen over, the next 365 days and on, right? So we structure that out and but yeah, bring them onto a common platform, have them be part of the single company that we're building out nationally.
So tell me a little bit about that experience of bringing the firms on, because I know a lot of RIAs will struggle with one acquisition that they will spend years looking for. Other firms like yours seem to have this down to a science. Can you talk to me a little bit about that process that you were just talking about of bringing those firms on board? What does that look like? How closely are you working with the founders of these other firms? Are they now principal operators inside Modern Wealth Management? What does it look like?
Yeah, so we do a lot of work as part of coming to the transaction with them and leading up to that, doing a lot of preparation work and kind of explaining to them what the transition and integration process is going to look like. It's important just to have regular touch points, ensure you've got the resources that are there that can help take them through that process, help them understand, how we're going to walk them through this. When things are going to happen, what's going to, what are we going to be doing kind of prior to closing? What are we going to be doing post-closing? We do bring on the advisors as managing directors within Modern Wealth Management. They're leading, their local office. And so we kind of, set out that vision for them and, how kind of like how that operates going forward and, taking them through just, how we go through a process to kind of understand what their goals are for the business, how we set those as part of our regular strategic planning process, and then execute on those and ensure we're delivering the resources, right, and making the investment where needed to ensure that we hit those growth goals. But again, it's a very, I mean, we have a ton of experience from building out United Capital across the country, and so there's a lot of learning from that that we're, you know, that's coming to bear here in helping us and in how we approach this, and again, really understanding, you know, what needs to happen when. I think that's the real critical part here is just you can't do it all at once. There's too much that needs to happen, and so you need to be thoughtful of kind of how you step through it.
You had the group there, Barber Financial, added some tax management in with Marty James, expanding your offices in New York. Is there another area of client service that you don't have, that you want, that you're looking for, or that might be on the near-term horizon?
I mean, we have a lot of the basics covered. You know, I think there's still some opportunity in the estate planning area and in insurance and how that fits in there and supporting the plan. You know, I think more to come on that point because we're trying to solve it in different ways as well. But you know, I think we've got a lot of the basics covered now, but it is always interesting as we meet firms across the country, learning what they're up to and learning where they have a particular expertise and how, you know, just trying to think how that can help us at a broader national level. I think we learn all the time as we meet with folks, talk to them, understand their practice, understand where they could bring some additional perspective that could help all of our clients across the country. I think that's always an interesting part of the process here because I don't think we always know the full scope of services or the full set of opportunities on what we could bring to our clients.
Sure, there might be something out there that you know, you don't know what you don't know. But that said, you and your co-founders have a lot of experience here. You've been in this for a while. You must know many of the firms out there. Is there a kind of, when you're thinking about the sum total of modern wealth management, a typical client profile, or is it we want to be a big national firm that can service pretty much anyone?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think one way to describe kind of our typical client is kind of the millionaire next door. It's, you know, someone, they're broadly speaking, it's someone with 500,000 to 5 million in assets. I mean, those are typically the areas where you can add the most value in a relationship because they have choices to make, right? They've got, you know, it's it, we as to contrast it, we don't target the ultra high net worth, for example. You know, they have a very different set of services and expectations around that and decisions that they're looking to make, versus the kind of this core set that we have. They're looking at what their retirement goals are, what some legacy goals they might have, and they're needing to make kind of trade-offs, right? They don't have enough to do everything that they want, and they need a good partner to help them make, you know, the best decision and the best trade-off in their lives. And so, you know, this is an area that, you know, I think we really see a ton of value that we can bring to the client relationships. And so that's kind of the best way to describe that. Typically, you know, you're talking about clients that are in their 40s, 50s, 60s, right? They from when they start to see at least retirement on the horizon, and they're starting to think about that. It could be when we're intercepting them when they're, you know, having to think nearer term about college costs and so on. But you know, that's kind of the typical profile of clients that we have.
We invite you to join us on May 13th through 16th in Hollywood, Florida, for RA Edge, part of the Wealth Management Edge event. With an agenda designed to help accelerate the growth of your RIA firm with the latest C-suite strategies, you'll walk away with frameworks and approaches for M&A, organic growth, and talent development. Use promo code PODCAST20 to save 20% on your registration. Visit wealthmanagementedge-event.com for more information.
So let's talk a little bit about organic growth then, because I think organic growth is one thing that a lot of firms struggle with. And I suppose a cynic could say, not with modern wealth management, but the RA industry in general, that Growth by acquisition is hiding a lot of the lack of organic growth that exists out there in the industry overall. First of all, what are your thoughts about the possibility for organic growth in the industry overall? Do you agree with those who say there's not that much of it to be had, or the industry is not really experiencing that much organic growth overall? And then we'll get into maybe how you guys are approaching organic growth and your strategy there. But first of all, just in general, organic growth in the RIA industry, what are your thoughts?
I think there's a tremendous opportunity for organic growth here. I think there's a ton of unmet need within the consumer population around wealth management and financial services more broadly. I think this was part of, one of the reasons we liked the Barber acquisition was Dean had a podcast. It was a radio show that it really became a podcast that was attracting a lot of listeners, people that had questions that, they didn't have the answers to. And, that continues to deliver today. And we're continuing to invest in that as one of many different, pillars of organic growth for us. We do it paired with that. We do have a digital marketing lead gen strategy as well that we're investing in. And then you have other partnerships, back with United Capital, we had pretty successful relationships, I'd say, with both, Schwab and Fidelity and TD and their retail referral programs. Those are great partnerships to be able to get new leads, people that are looking for help, with their portfolios and broader financial needs. But there's a number of other players in that space now that are out there doing digital lead gen and providing leads for the business. And so we have some experience with some of them. Some of them are newer and we're testing those out as well. But there's quite a range of different solutions in that space for advisors to choose from. I think the important thing is investing in that so that you can maximize the opportunity that's there. If you're signing up to get leads sent your way, make sure that you're resourced and able to respond to that and be able to get in touch with those prospective clients, understand what their needs are, understand if you can be helpful as soon as possible. You need to move quick. And so, it's important to just make sure that you're resourcing that appropriately if you're going to go down that path.
Yeah, what do you think the is behind the notion? And you've seen these statistics just as much as I have. Again, this is not your firm, but in overall, the notion that real organic growth in the RIA space is meager at best. Would that be something that you would agree with, just in terms of the overall industry?
Yeah, well, I think you're referring to the kind of the stats and reports that come out from the custodians, who, have a great view, right, on kind of what's happening with advisors. They're seeing all the accounts, they're seeing flows, they kind of have an understanding of how things are going. And I think what they see is that the typical firm out there is not growing outside of market, right? So they tend to be net of terminations, a few percentage point growth, right? It's not a huge number. Now, I think that hides the fact that there are some firms that are growing quite a bit. They're just in the minority. And there probably are some other firms that are losing assets. And there could be a number of reasons for that. But generally speaking, they're, from the data that they have, and I think we've seen this in our own analysis and looking at firms over the years, many firms are not growing. They don't have a, they don't have an organic growth, strategy that they're investing in and executing on and seeing the results from. I think I'd agree with that perspective on those numbers. You've got to go and make the investment. There are the opportunity. It doesn't mean that the opportunity isn't there. Our perspective on this is the opportunity is definitely there. You need to invest in it. You need to have a strategy around it. You need to bring on the resources and execute on that to make it happen. But it's there.
Yeah. Talk to me a little bit about what maybe and this your firm is early days here in a lot of ways, so maybe this isn't as relevant, but constraints to growth. We hear from a lot of advisory firms that want to grow and maybe are growing, but don't have the infrastructure in place or the talent in place to really make the most of it or to execute on their strategies correctly. Do you recognize any of these constraints out there? You seem to have found some firms that are good firms for partnership. Any thoughts on constraints? Is there places that where maybe you're not growing as fast as you'd like to because of some roadblocks that you're trying to address?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think the constraints that I think we typically see out there, the constraints are actually making the concerted effort to make the investment to make it happen. So, first off, you need to have a specific strategy in how you're approaching this, and you need to be willing to take capital and invest in it, in that area in order to make it happen. I think once you do that, then you have a follow-on constraint you run into, which is finding the talent for it. There certainly is a war for talent out there, and it's finding, the right people, good people to be able to execute on that is challenging. And so that, again, I mean, once you get over the first constraint there, there's another one that follows on quickly afterwards. But as we stand right now, and we're still early here, but we're off investing in this, and we're already seeing early results from it. And starting up our growth hub, bringing on dedicated resources to be part of that, making the investment in the partnerships, in our digital lead gen strategy, it's already paying off, and we'll continue to be learning from it, right? As you go down this path, you learn as you go, and you adjust from what you actually see happen. And I think there's a great opportunity here. It's a matter of kind of getting past definitely the constraints that you own, right? That you have the decision to make, and that's around making the actual concerted investment in it, and having an actual, strategy around this, and then navigating the constraints that you have less control over, getting the right people on board, the right resources focused on this to make it happen.
Yeah, I think when you go out and speak to RIA firms out there, and I know you speak to a lot of them, is one of the problems that you find a lot of firms think, well, I'll get the clients, I'll get the revenue, and then that will afford me the opportunity to build out the infrastructure. And it sounds like what you're suggesting is it should be the reverse. It should be the opposite. Invest in the infrastructure and then go out and get the.
Exactly. I think if you on the first one, it might happen, but then at some point you've got to just pull the trigger, right? And be able to say, well, when am I going to further invest in this to continue to accelerate the growth that you want to see? But you're right. It's kind of, do you have the whole thing reversed, right? Do you need to make that decision right out of the gate here, that you've got to make that commitment to make the investment to make it happen, and that will then drive the growth that you're looking for.
I know we're kind of coming up on our time here, but I am interested in the retirement plan factor here. I think a lot of it, some people in the industry might say, well, you can be a retirement plan advisor, or you can be a wealth manager. You can't be both. You can't dabble in retirement plans and wealth management both. That used to be the line anyway that I heard quite a bit, because they're two very different businesses. And then we hear more about the convergence, right? The convergence of wealth management and retirement plan advisory. Obviously, you folks think that there's an additive to be had here with the retirement plan business. Any thoughts on the opposite side of that argument of folks who would say you can't dabble in it, you need to concentrate on it. That's got to be your business. It's a different business. You can't do both.
I agree. I don't. I. It's a different business. You've got to have subject matter expert within your company that are focused on that area of the business. So I think they're correct. You can't. That perspective of a single advisor trying to be both a wealth manager to individuals and then also tackling the retirement plan space is pretty challenging. They're quite a bit different. They have. They both have their opportunities and they have their risks. And so our approach is, let's not expect that we're going to have an individual advisor be able to navigate both of those. Instead, let's bring in subject matter experts that can be dedicated to this space. They bring that expertise. They can partner then with advisors and be brought in for that part of the relationship and handle that. Again, if the typical scenario here is you've got a wealth management client that is a small business owner, mid-sized business owner, they've got a plan that they need help on. Well, let's not expect that advisor to be able to tackle that on their own. Instead, they can recognize the need, and we've got the subject matter experts in-house that can come and, be brought in to handle that part of the relationship.
And if you win that retirement plan business, is that then housed in in the separate silo of Modern Wealth Management?
Well, it a it certainly is it is you know treated from through the lens of what we need to be doing within the retirement plan space. So it kind of falls into a different framework of all of the different things that we need to be doing to provide the appropriate services for that plan. It does. It goes into another work stream, just like we have, if you have a client that's getting tax preparation services, right? So if they're doing tax, if we're doing tax prep for them, that falls into a, well, hey, we need to get all of their data, obviously, within, the accounting setup that we have and so on. And so it's the same analogy with the retirement plan business where, yeah, that definitely needs to kind of fall into the, the whole service and kind of tool set that we have for our retirement plan business.
That makes sense. When you talk about being the and I agree, I think clients expect, right, the one place that can do everything for me. That's, I think, fits very much with a kind of a modern client mentality. They don't want to jump around from service provider to service provider to service provider. You talk about what's missing, estate planning, perhaps insurance. There are some things to be done there. What about basic banking services? Is there anyone working on solutions for that, for the RIA space, or are you still kind of at the point where you still have to have a bank and choose your bank, but bring everything else to us? Where do you kind of think about the future of the space? Is banking a place to look at in terms of bringing those services closer to home?
Well, yeah, I think so I think more specifically on the lending side, I think that is an area where there's an opportunity with clients. Obviously, they have different needs, whether it's mortgages or needing to have, potentially line of credit to, for different things that come up and be able to cover those expenses. And so definitely a role for us to play in helping find solutions around that. I think also cash management, that's a pretty hot topic with where rates are. And there are different solutions there, right? I think there's different providers. And yes, definitely that is an area where we want to be able to ensure we've got great solutions for our clients and help deliver those. Those tend to be ones where we're not going to be taking, we're not going to be the lender, right? We're not going to be the custodian for their cash or anything, but we can certainly source really great solutions and have really great partnerships that kind of right extend our service and our brand into those areas. Yeah, so I agree. I think there's definitely an opportunity on the banking side.
Okay, well, this has been fantastic. I know we're up against our deadline here, Mike, but I really appreciate your time. Thanks very much. It's exciting stuff. Congratulations on the growth. We've heard a lot about the firm over the past year, and I expect we'll be hearing a lot more coming up. So Mike Capelli, co-founder of Modern Wealth Management, thanks very much for joining the RIA Edge podcast.
Thank you, David. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
And this has been the RIA Edge podcast. Thank you very much for listening.
Schwab Advisor Services is proud to support the RIA Edge podcast and equally proud to support independent financial advisors like you. In a challenging year, how did 68% of firms surveyed in Schwab's RIA benchmarking study meet or exceed their new client goals? By following key success factors, such as leveraging new technology, adapting strategies to win new business and stay connected with their clients, while also attracting and developing the right talent. The Schwab RIA benchmarking study is just one of many ways they provide you with the insights and resources needed to succeed and grow. Get the full picture at advisorservices.schwab.com.